Well, the Jewish nation is being built. 11 of the 12 tribes are born in this week's parsha. But the story of the birth of the tribes adds an interesting dimension to the building of the Jewish nation. Up until this point, we were understanding Avraham Avinu. We got to understand that it was his chesed that really was the pillar of, this was the foundation of what the Jews were to be. Yitzchak, a bit mysterious, but very much an individual. Certainly the Akedah, while Avraham Avinu was accredited with it, it describes who Yitzchak was. Total service. Yaakov Avinu, we saw the hardships in Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Aholim to the point that he reluctantly outsmarted his brother the cheater. Each one of the patriarchs added something to what makes the Jewish personality that we understood. The chesed of Avram, the sacrifice of Yitzchak, Yaakov Avinu's having to spend almost an entire lifetime fighting off sheker, falsehood, fighting for truth. But on the next level in the building of the Jewish nation, we find something totally different. It's called competition. The competition, not on the men's side, among the women. The four wives of Yaakov Avinu that were building the Jewish nation, beginning with two. When Rachel realizes she's losing, so she brings someone else in, then Leah does the same. In the naming of the children, we see how much who has what played a role in it. Competing to build the Jewish nation. Although when we speak of the pillars of the Jewish nation, we speak of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and what they stand for, it certainly comes over very clearly that competing to be the one to have the privilege of building the nation, this really spirited the building of the Jewish nation. So on the one hand, we appreciate how important it is, that drive to really, really build, to bring about a future, to make things happen. On the other hand, doesn't competition sound bad? Chazal tell us that although there are all sorts of rules when it comes to competing with another human being, with a neighbor, with a member of your community, when it comes to business, when it comes to Torah, on the contrary, you can have a whole row of yeshivas, one after the other. Don't worry about anyone interfering with anybody else. Kinas sofrim tar bechokhma. Let there be competition. It's going to up the quality of Jewish education. Now, generally speaking, although we do believe in competition, only up to a certain point. Because we understand that when there's competition, there's a loser. Maybe temporary. But you end up not winning all the time. And when it comes to business, while we do want to keep people in business, the most important element in business is simply making sure that people have parnasa and nothing more than that, that they make a living. We are not interesting. We are not interested in having companies get together, creating some, first an interstate and then some international thing, and really building up, and wow, even though it's going to bring the prices down so, but it means that only they are going to be in business. And it's important that we support everybody. We would rather that there be a small business for this and for that and the local butcher and the local pharmacy. We'd rather that. Even though competition would bring down prices. But competition will also drive people out of business. When it comes to Torah, when it comes to ruchnius, when it comes to anything spiritual, competition is a necessity. Because we are not just interested in everyone being in business and making a living. That's good too. But there, the quality of the product means something. We are not interested in necessarily seeing to it that to stay in business, people are going to have to be innovative, produce the best product possible. It's nice. It's very nice. But that's not what we live for. Remember the old advertisement for the Chambers of Commerce? One kid advertising a lemonade, the next one lemonade with a cherry. That's not what we live for. That's not what we live for. Who says that the products have to be beautifully packaged? This one outdoes the other one. I mean, it's nice. When it comes to the important things in life, that's where there's got to be competition and produce the best product possible. And everybody feels I can do it and it's going to be mine. The idea of the matriarchs fighting it out was not a matter of I want my piece of the action. A mother definitely shapes who the child is. And if there are going to be 12 tribes, then every one of them felt, I want as many as possible to be my children, shaped by me, brought up by me. I want the future of the Jewish nation to be shaped in accordance with the things that I know are important, in the way that I know I can do it best. And we're going to fight it out, and the best man will win, because ultimately we know that it's Hashem that runs the world, and especially when it's a matter of having children. You put up the best fight, you offer the best product, and Hashem will be there. When it comes to anything spiritual, yeah, you feel you want your things your way. You understand. You come from a particular place up there. And you want to make sure that that is the one that's going to become part of the future. You want to get that out to the world. And you fight for it. You know, in yeshivas, people argue passionately. And if you haven't learned it yet, you got to learn it. You guys are all too nice. In the yeshivas, when guys argue, I can't say that it's always for the right reasons, and sometimes personalities get in the way. When you feel something's right, you fight and you scream and you pull each other, and they used to tell stories of what Rav Aaron Cutler was like in the early days in Lakewood and back in Europe, in Kletsk. A Talmud of his told me, he remembers that when Rav Aaron Cutler tore someone's shirt, they were arguing over a pshat, and he pulled the guy and tore his shirt. Not because he was insulted. He was sure he was right. The halacha is that a Talmud Chacham is not supposed to take his friends and neighbors to small claims court. And if he does, he's not a Talmud Chacham. Come on, what is it? It's only money. I'm talking about your own, not what you do with somebody else's. What does it mean already? It's worth fighting over this. Now, the Chafetz Chaim's Shalom Fund, setting aside a certain amount of money, it's worth not arguing. I can spare this amount of money if someone cheats me. I can get away with it. Leave me alone. I'm not going to argue over it. When it comes to Ruchnius, there's no such thing. When it comes to Ruchnius, you fight to the very end. Without allowing the personalities to get involved. The matriarchs did not hate each other. We're not talking about hatred. Because then it is not kinas sofrim. It is not a common struggle for being able to find the best form of spirituality. Then it's a matter of, I want to win. But competition is so important. Not as some artificial means of seeing to it that the best product comes about. But Hashem created every one of us different. Hashem gave us different personalities for the sake of us being mefalpel, fighting it out. The Kiddush Hashem does not come about when calmly two Jews can argue about Pshat and a Gemara over a cup of tea and then shake hands and say everything's fine. Chazal talk of Milchamta Shel Torah, the battle for Torah. It says father and son. Father and son, they become enemies. But it brings them closer together. And the way it brings them closer together is because it really is a common struggle. And it is not a personal feud. It's not an ego issue. It's not a matter of I'm right, you're right. It's a matter of what's right. But if something really matters to you, you fight to the very end. The Maharal says that the reason Jews always argue is because deep down, like it's so ingrained in our personality that we are truth seekers. That when we feel something's right, we have a hard time tolerating anything else. Obviously, the problem is that we don't control ourselves and allow that to affect even things that are unimportant. There are lots of other ideas that we also have to keep in mind. One of them being keeping things in perspective, knowing what it is that you fight about and what not. When we're dealing with matters of substance, we don't settle things over a cup of tea. We fight and we compete because everyone feels he's right, and he is. Because Hashem gave him only one facet of truth, the one that's called his neshama. And he's got to fight to the very end to make sure that that prevails. Competition in Ruchnius. Not whose name is going to go up. Ah, he won the contest. But whose angle on truth, whose angle on Torah, whose angle on Hashem is going to prevail? And you fight because you know you were put into this world for the purpose of making sure that that prevails, yours. Not to see your picture up there, not to see your name up there. But to know that what you know is right, you've managed to convince everyone else is also right. The degrees, one of my favorites is the Maharal on story of the birth of Dina. Where Chazal say that the Pasuk says after that, After that, she had a daughter. And Chazal tell us, who is this? What's pshat? What's going on here? And it says she was supposed to be a son. But Leah realized that if she has another one of the sons, then there's not really going to be too much left for Rachel. So what did she do? It says the name Dina came at Dona Biatzma. She went and she had to sit in judgment and come to the conclusion it's not right, it's not fair. And she davened to Hashem to change the boy to a girl. So the Maral asks, why'd she wait for the last minute and daven then? She had to daven for a miracle. She conceives a boy and then has to daven that it be changed to a girl. So the Maral asks, daven to begin with, it'd be a girl. Says the Maral, Leah knew that she did not have the right to a girl, only to a boy. Whom we're talking about. We're talking about the builders of the Jewish nation. We're talking about the Imahos, our matriarchs. She knew she had the right to a boy and not a girl. So what did she do? She knew that if she davened it wouldn't work, she wouldn't get a girl. So she waited until she conceived a boy, because that's the only thing she really had the right to. And then came and pleaded, Hashem, you can't do this to Rachel. If she davened before, she'd have nothing. Because she didn't have the right to a girl. This way she got something and then turned it into a girl. What do we learn from this? Jewish business again. What we learn from this is when something's important to you, you stop at nothing. This is ruchnius, this is spirituality. That is not the way they did business. We know that Yaakov Avinu didn't do business that way. We knew that were it not for the miracles, Yaakov Avinu would walk out of Laban's house a pauper. It was miraculous that he walked out of there with what he did. Laban was cheating him right and left. When it comes to business, you do business, all right. That's not what you live for. When it comes to ruchnius, there's tough competition to the very end. And you be as manipulative as you have to make sure that the best thing comes out. You've got to sit down and think things through. How's this going to work? You've got to strategize. But remember, what was she doing? This manipulation was a way of making sure that she had another child without hurting Rachel, though. We are not talking about cutting down others. I tell you, there's a very difficult issue. I know I've had to deal with it for a long time. The halacha is that if your life's in danger or somebody else's, it's one or the other. You know the two men in the desert? Remember that one? The halacha is chayecha kodmim. Even though we have to care about others, your responsibility for yourself to Hashem, that comes first. Hashem gave you life. Your first responsibility to Him is to keep yourself alive, even before you care about other people. It's a responsibility. It's not a right, by the way. It's a responsibility. The question is, when it comes to ruchnius, when it comes to your learning, when it comes to your growth, do we apply that to? And I've heard many great people say yes. I've been told that. In my years in yeshiva, I was told that. Over and over. You come first. Till I got to the mirror. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zechorah Levracha, used to beat this into us over and over. Wisdom is a gift from heaven. You don't get it by being selfish. Wisdom is a gift. There are many ways of getting it. Every one of them calls for hard work. But the hard work in helping others does a far more efficient job than when you're selfish. And he used to prove it from all of Shas, and he knew it all, and by the way he lived. He had chavrusas where one wondered. Anyone that would walk in and say, could you learn with me? But Gadol HaDor would spend time learning with. He never said no. He had chavrusas with all kinds of people. All kinds of people. The best guys in the yeshiva did not learn with Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Anyone walk in. He spent time with people and he cried with people and for people. And had time to notice everything. Although he just learned and learned and learned and learned. I think I'll take his word for it. What counts is to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. What counts is that you push the cause of Ruchnius in the best way possible. And you fight for things and you fight over things. But if you don't care about someone else, that's also a lack of Ruchnius. It is ruchni, it is spiritual to care about other people and their feelings and their egos. You don't have the right to be concerned about your own, but you have the responsibility to be concerned about others. You got to fight for truth, but don't hurt other people in the process. You got to compete and strategize. And when you know something's right, you've got to make sure it happens. But don't hurt others in the process. You tear their shirts, but pay them for it. So the Jewish nation was built by Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov on the one hand. And what they stand for is what Judaism stands for. Torah, Avod, and Gemilas Chasadim. That's what the Jew is. But the energy that gave life to Torah, Avod, and Gemilas Chasadim is what we see in this week's Parsha. Life was given by the mothers, by the matriarchs. And it was this endless desire to give and to build and create. And in a personal way, a personal desire not to be famous, a personal desire to want to take everything Hashem invested in me and use that to build Klal Yisrael. Use that to bring about a Jewish nation. We need that so much. We need the energy. Now, it's nice to become wise. It's important to become wise. It's death to be dumb. I mean, to the Jew, everything's wisdom. But if your wisdom will leave you calm, and you'll just be complacent, and be happy to know that you're right, and walk around with a smile, content, let everybody else be wrong, but I know I'm right, that is a terrible thing. If you know what's right, you fight for it. You share it, and you convince, and you argue, and you even get emotional, because it means something to you. And that's what provides the fuel for building in Ruchnius. That's what gives the life to perpetuate the Jewish nation and make it grow and become greater. When you get all emotional about Gashmias, you missed it. So when the Rambam writes that what's wrong with revenge, what's wrong with Natira, simply bearing a grudge, Rambam says to get so emotional that you can't wait to get back at the guy means you take this stuff seriously. There is nothing in Gashmias worth getting so upset about. And then the reverse, Chazal tell us, a Talmud Chacham who is not Nokim the Noter Kanochash, if he does not have the vengeance of a snake, he's not a Talmud Chacham, not on a personal level. Not on a personal level. When you see that values are being stepped on, that's when you get angry, and angry in a big way. And if you're placid, and you can take it, you can tolerate anything, you're not a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is passionate about what's important. But to a Talmud Chacham, nothing gashmi, nothing finite and physical is important enough to ever get upset about. You can tolerate your friends, you can tolerate your kids and your wife, and anything stupid they do, perhaps not yourself, but everyone around you. Because it's only Gashmias, and how long does it last anyway? And everything turns to dust anyhow. What's meaningful is what's eternal. And you don't deal with that calmly. You got to be passionate. Because we're Talmidei Chachamim. We are the descendants of the matriarchs. Our neshama, our life, our spirit, it came from them. And to them you compete to the very end. And you strategize to the very end. Because this is what counts.
That means that...